Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Are you in the hotel right now?
Yeah, we are. We have our last game tonight, so kind of just chilling before a pregame meal and stuff.
Well, we're really honored that you fit us in on game day. That's pretty cool.
No worries.
So how's it going? Congrats. Like, tell us how you're feeling. How is it all?
It's honestly been awesome. I was with the U20s. So I went to two U20 World Cup. So I know some of the girls here, which has helped a lot, like some of the younger ones. So that's been great. But the girls have all been super awesome. Like the environment, the culture they've created here is just really awesome and welcoming. So it's been nice. It's obviously a little intimidating and kind of scary, but it's been great so far.
It does help when you have a little bit of familiarity with some of the girls that have gone up and are in the same position as you. How have the older girls been, or the vets been, in terms of, you know, communication and kind of environment around the newer players?
I think they've been great. Like, obviously more of the veterans, like Alex and Pino. Crystal's here too, because she's trying to get back into after having her son. So they've been awesome, super welcoming. Like the first day I got here, I was kind of, I came because one of the players had a family emergency. So I kind of showed up in the morning, and I don't know if anyone knew I was supposed to be there, but they still like came up right up to me and were like, "Hey, Sav, like happy you're here." Like just super nice. We all played against each other, obviously, in the NWSL. So just super welcoming, especially the veterans. And then obviously the younger girls have all been great too.
Do you find any big differences between the NWSL and the national team, or even like the U20s and this team?
Oh, I would just say like the pace of play is just taken to another level. Mm-hmm. And I think just the amount of detail that goes into everything, whether that be set pieces and just day in and day out, I think they've created such a professional environment here. And I'm just trying to focus on controlling what I can control. Even if that's like turning in my gear on time or filling out my like fit for 90 stuff, it's just kind of, they want you to do everything to the highest standard. And I think it's just going to make me better and make me like a better professional.
You mentioned how it was a little stressful coming in. Is there anything that you do off the field to help with that?
Yeah, it's actually funny. So what I've always liked to do is just kind of do things totally like not related to soccer to kind of get my mind off of it. So we're all big coffee drinkers. So I think during our off time, we all spend like going on walks or going to new coffee shops, shopping. We're in DC right now. So like Georgetown down the street, and Emily Fox is from here. So she's kind of been taking us around. But just making sure that when we're not playing soccer, we're kind of at, like just doing normal people things and kind of giving our head arrest and not overthinking things like how we are when we're at the training field and all that.
That must be hard, but that's so good to do, because you can't be thinking of soccer all the time. Like you're going to go crazy. So giving yourself that break is such a great idea.
Yeah. And I think that was something that I did well in college too. Mm-hmm. And after I got injured in 2019. So I had to figure out like what I was going to do during my recovery time when I didn't have soccer. So I think that's where I learned a lot, that even though you are like a soccer player, it's really important to do things outside of soccer. Even if that stuff outside of soccer, like friends, like it is having other people you can go to that have no idea what soccer is, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. You had an Achilles injury in college, right?
Yeah. I tore it in like April of 2019.
Oof, that's my fear, man. The Achilles is just such a weird part of your body. Like, what was that recovery like for you?
Definitely challenging. So that was my first ever like big injury. So it was very, very scary. The recovery time is pretty long. And what people don't know is like after you're like fully recovered, it still takes so long for like the calf muscle to grow back and all of that. So it was definitely pretty hard, but COVID happened right when I was coming back. So I think I had a little bit of extra time to get back to like the fitness level that I needed to be at. So that definitely helped a lot, but I was at USC at the time. So I had great, a great coaching staff. I had great people around me helping me get through it. So I wouldn't have gone through it without them, but definitely tough mentally and physically.
Yeah. And like, go ahead, Alan.
I say, I feel like one of the biggest mental hurdles for people to overcome is the feeling that they'll never be able to be back without hesitation, without fear of injury again, or they'll feel like they'll never be back to the version of themselves that they were. And you are a testament that you can come back even better than where you were. So do you have any advice to anyone who's feeling that way, or did anyone give you advice when you were feeling that way, if you had those feelings of doubt too?
Yeah, I mean, right when I was coming back, I was really hard on myself, I think, because I think I got injured right at where I was like peaking, kind of. I was like really fit. I was playing really good. I had to just finish like with the U23s at a camp and like did really well. But yeah, so I was really hard on myself, but a lot of things that people were telling me was just like, you just have to like take it for what it is. And I just tried to get better every single day. Like I said, I had COVID that kind of prolonged, like I kind of had more time to get back to how I was. But even 2 years later, when we were just coming back, I did not feel like myself. Mm-hmm. Like just what the ability, like I knew I was capable of playing at, I was nowhere near, but I was very patient with myself, which I think is I had to practice that, obviously. Yeah. So I would just say staying patient is very important. And yeah. And like I said, doing stuff outside of soccer helped me a lot. Like I've always loved watching soccer, but I think when I was injured, I watched a lot more.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good thing to do when you're injured. Like you can watch tons of soccer. Is there any team or player that you really like honed in on during that time?
Well, my dad is Portuguese. So my dad was like born in Portugal. So I've always grown up loving Ronaldo just because of the Portuguese side. And so I've watched him ever since I was younger, but as a midfielder, it's always been Messi. Messi's been like kind of the epitome of a good midfielder. Toni Kroos is someone I also really enjoy watching. So I kind of just watch those players, and my coaches also during the season I missed wanted me to do the scouting reports.
That's cool.
So that gave me a different perspective, and that was like a huge way of still being a part of the team while not.
That's such a good idea.
I have to say that if I was injured, I'd probably hate that. However, I'm injured right now. The benefit of that and the learning and you can get better while you're not playing. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I felt honestly honored to do it. And I learned so much, I think, in that 5 months of my injury, like my recovery process.
And I'm going to be honest, like when I played college soccer, I was not looking into who we were playing much. Like I would briefly look at what the coaches said, but like that probably is so helpful as a player. Even now, like you probably still scout more than most other players do.
Exactly. Yeah. It kind of just like added a little bit of skill to my like tool set. I don't know. It was very different perspective.
That's really cool. Was there anything from scouting that was like the most surprising thing? Like something that you're like, how did I not like notice this before?
It's weird. Like, I don't know how to explain this, but obviously when you go to like a scouting report and they're telling you, okay, this is their formation, these are the spaces to like exploit, and they give you a couple clips. But I think it's different when you actually like watch the game entirely and kind of notice the trends of teams. Cause then I think it opens up like so many more pockets and spaces. And I think that was the biggest thing, was actually putting the information like on to the pitch. Cause I think it's easy just to be like, oh yeah, okay, like that makes sense. But to actually think about it in the game, mm-hmm. and be like, this is what the coaches said, like look for it. Mm-hmm. I think that was what changed a lot.
That's really cool. What do you like, how do you think you are different than other midfielders right now? Like, is there anything that you find like that people are like, oh, Savannah's really good at this? Or is there anything that you want to work on like this year that you have goals?
Yeah, I think what people have always said was I'm a good dribbler. Mm-hmm. So I think in the midfield, I can break lines dribbling, not just passing. So I know at Racing right now, it's my pro team. They really like that I do that. And I know here at national team, that's what they really like about me. And that's what kind of sets me apart and makes me a special player, is that I'm able to break lines on the dribble. And I kind of just put my head down and like go. So they really like that about me. But I think as an attacking mid, I've always tried to work on the defending side of things. I think in college, that's when my mentality changed, because in club, I wasn't really a big defender in the midfield. But I think once I got to college, my coach was like, listen, like in the midfield, you need to defend. Mm-hmm. And I think I've just been trying to add that to my game. And playing in the pro environment, I think it's one of my strengths now. Awesome. So like defensively on the side of the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. What was your major in college?
Health and human sciences.
Okay. I was going to say, you sound like a science person, like the way you like think. It's cool. Like I'm very opposite, but I wish I had those qualities as a player, because I feel like that translates.
Yeah. I got my major, and then because I got injured, I was in college for a really long time. I was in college for like 5 years or 6 years almost. So I got my master's too. That's in awesome. Public health. So
what would you want to do if you didn't play soccer?
Either physician's assistant or like a travel nurse. That's my awesome. Mom's a nurse, so I kind of grew up with liking science and all that stuff.
Very cool. And how long did you know you wanted to play professionally?
Probably since I was a freshman in high school, I would say. My dad sat me down and he's like, so like, is this something you actually want to like try to do in college and go to pro? And I was like, oh, absolutely. And so we had a little 4-year plan in high school. And he's like, okay, like sophomore year is usually when you get recruited. And my dad was my assistant coach. So in club.
Oh, that's so cool. Nice.
Yeah. So probably when I was a freshman was when I kind of really like zoned in into soccer being like a lifestyle and what I wanted to do. Cause I think that's the age when like junior, sophomore year of high school, where you kind of either start like progressing or you start kind of going the other way with it. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure I was getting better each year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I feel like it's a point where most people are like, all right, am I going to do this for fun? Or like, do I want to take this to the next level? Cause it is such a commitment. So it's at a young age that you have to kind of like decide, like, am I going to go for this? But
yeah. And I got to go to a lot of the youth camps. Mm-hmm. So that environment was just so much fun. And just being with girls that were like-minded, I think really helped me realize this is what I want to do. These are the people that I'm most similar with, like have the same goals, tendencies, characteristics. So it was really fun being a part of that at such a young age. And I think it's just shown how much women's soccer is progressing and just how good the national team like takes care and like invest in their youth programs.
I was going to say, did you have any strong female role models when you were that age that either made you believe that you could or whether they were or not?
Yeah. So I had, obviously my mom and my grandma were huge role models. My mom was a gymnast for a really long time. So that was like, and my dad was a soccer player. So I had like an athletic family, but in my club, I played for beach football club in Long Beach, California. I had a lot of older players that were already committed to colleges, somewhere in the youth national team program. So I think just being around that was always like awesome. And obviously our national team always looked up to Mia Hamm, Abby Wambach, Carly Lloyd, all those players. So it was awesome to have those people.
It must be weird, like playing with people that you probably looked up to growing up. Like,
oh yeah, you know, absolutely.
That's so cool.
One last serious question before we dive into some, more lighthearted ones. What would you say the biggest lesson that soccer has taught you thus far? I'm sure there are many more lessons to learn along the way from it, but so far, do you have any like big lesson that soccer has taught you?
I would say like I have two things. One is like just the mental side, how important the mental side is and how important it is to take care of that just as much, if not more than like the physical side of things. And going on top of that is just, as much as I am like a soccer player, like you are so much more than a soccer player. And I think once you realize that and appreciate that side, it makes the soccer part so much more fun. Cause I know a lot of kids growing up now, and just when I was at home, like kids put everything into soccer at such a young age now. I'm like 6 years old, like parents are like making their kids practice soccer every single day. And I'm like, in high school, I played soccer, but I also was like a basketball player, volleyball player. Like I played every sport I could. And I think it helped with like, I actually love the sport and I wasn't forced onto it. So I just always have tried to like balance my life. As much as I am a soccer player, like I like to do other things as well. And I think a good balance of that makes me just appreciate soccer that much more.
I love that. And I feel like that is the lesson that we all inevitably eventually learn, whether we learn it too late or not. And, you know, such a big takeaway is if the mental side of things and your mental health is not in a good place, it really doesn't matter how physically prepared you are. It's not going to be able to shine through the way that it's supposed to unless that other piece is intact. So I love that you brought that up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think it's huge that we're all programs, like even in racing, we focus a lot on like the mental side. And here, even at camp, in college, like everyone is kind of tuning into the mental side and taking it a lot more serious.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And you mentioned balance. What other hobbies do you have? I know you like coffee, you said, but like, is there any like, do you like to do anything on your off days?
Yeah. I think everyone likes to travel, but like, I always like being outdoors. My roommate back in racing, Jalen, she has a dog. So we always like to take him for walks, being outside. I like photography, like always like taking pictures, shopping. I kind of have a shopping addiction. yeah. Things like that. Like to read sometimes. Things like that. Just being outside is honestly probably the number one thing.
All right. Do we have time for a couple of rapid fires?
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right. Carpool karaoke or Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, carpool karaoke.
Yeah.
Beyond carpool karaoke over Dancing with the Stars?
I could not do Dancing with the Stars. So I probably anything but Dancing with the Stars.
Come on. Even with a gymnast mom?
It's honestly worse, I think. Like, I'm just so stiff. It's embarrassing.
Did you do gymnastics?
I was actually a gymnast and I was pretty serious. I didn't start playing soccer till I was like 8.
Wow. Yeah.
Because my mom was like, oh, like do gymnastics. And I was like, I just can't do this sport.
Do you feel like that helped at all with soccer? Like sometimes people say dancing helps with soccer and football, like the agility of it.
Yeah, I think so. I think, for sure. Like at a young age, I was able to do like flips, like back bend splits, all that. So I think I was just very like agile.
And it probably helps with your celebrations after scoring.
I can't do the flip anymore. Like no. I can do it on a trampoline, yeah. But if you don't stick with it, like after 2 years, I couldn't do the splits anymore.
I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. Sweet or salty snacks?
Salty, 100%.
Iced or hot coffee?
Iced.
All the time or do something?
Wow.
When I first got to Louisville, so I've been in California my whole life. When I first moved to Louisville, it was 18 degrees or like 9 degrees and it was this ice storm, which I didn't even know existed. And I still got iced coffees.
You're serious about that. That's usually a tough one for a lot of people, but I like that you are strictly ice. So beep test or like a long fitness run?
Beep test.
Yeah. What have you done any, like, do you guys do any sort of like 2 mile or anything like that?
I personally have never. At USC, we did the beep test and then we did 300s.
Okay.
But I think, yeah, I've always like not minded the beep test. I know it's like, but it's very mental, I think. Yeah. And so I would just make sure like during the summers I did as much as I could so that mentally I was like, okay, I should be fit to do this. Mm-hmm. And then I was good.
Yeah. I feel like as long as you're mentally tough for the beep test, you can get through it. It's not, yeah. It's a little physical, but it's like very
mental. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. You have a day off. Are you going to binge a good book or binge a good TV show?
Binge a good TV show.
Anything? Are you watching anything?
They just took mine off. I'm very late to it, but Vampire Diaries.
Like I was watching like in high school. Right?
Yeah.
Took it all the way off the streaming service.
They literally like, I just started watching it last month and then Netflix just took it off. So I was like, dang, I only made it to the 3rd season.
Wow.
You have to buy the DVD player to
you got the library.
It's going to HBO Max though. So I'm going to follow it there.
Would you rather order takeout or cook?
Ooh, I'm a terrible cook. So takeout.
Which one would you rather do the least? Go into a submarine or go into outer space?
Oh my gosh. Those are hard because I'd probably go into the submarine. Wait, no, I would rather not go to space.
Okay. Okay, space is the option.
Yeah, space is terrifying to me. So
Yeah, all right, you have an afternoon free. Are you gonna? Would you rather get a haircut or like a mani-pedi?
Mani-pedi.
All right, your last question.
Need to go do that.
I have two fake toenails on right now.
What?
Acrylic toenails.
Wait, are they like acrylic toenail? Is that what you said?
Yeah, they're acrylic. I had a wedding that I went to, and I had to get big toenails put on. And you can't see it probably from here, but this is a fake toenail.
Wait, that looks great.
Yeah. She did a great job, but I have a game on Thursday and I gotta like cut it a little short. They're a little long for me, but
I've told my friends to do that. And
they do it.
Yeah, that looks great. They think it's gonna be like super long. I'm like, I think they cut it like all the way.
I do wish you cut it a little more, but I mean, it definitely looks better than not having a toenail.
Yeah.
In that scenario.
Yeah. And last question. Go for it. Oh, sorry. I was going to say last question. What's your biggest soccer girl problem?
And you can't choose missing toenails.
Honestly, this is very basic probably, but the tan lines have just never like helped me in any way. Cause like in California, I'm wearing like my shirt, shorts, and then I'm going to the beach after. And it just does not, like, it never works. Like when I go to the beach, I never can tan enough to make it go away.
It's not cute. And like, I used to think that like the sports bra, like the Razorback tan was like the worst thing in the world, but I'm just learning that the ombre legs is like,
so
I can't, man, I just always look so pale. Oh God.
Yeah. And a new one I've kind of figured is like the hair washing. Like, you know, I'm on TikTok and they're like, you're supposed to wash your hair once a week. And I can't do that. I have to wash my hair every day.
I know. That is a good one. Hair washing is hard.
Yeah, like, killing my hair.
You can't be strategic about it when you play.
No, I wash my hair like every day. Maybe like if we have an off day, once every other day. Maybe. Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, those are two good ones. Yeah. Well, Savannah, thank you so much for coming on, especially on a game day. Good luck tonight. Do you have any game plan that we can know about or? Did you do scouting?
I did not do the scouting, but we had scout last night. With me and like Emily Fox, Ash Sanchez, and Taylor Korniak, we all went to coffee. We found this really, really cute place. It's called Tate in Washington, D.C.
Nice.
If you are ever in the area, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, cool.
Went there. Yeah, just had to meet with a couple people, and then our game's at 6, so it's pretty soon. So
I don't know, be there soon. Well, good luck.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. Thanks.
Bye, guys. Bye.